going on? This is Toki and Noah, and you're listening to Chicago Bullseye.
Give it all you got, take your very best shot, and may the best team win. The time is now, the name of the game is action. They're on the floor, and they're ready to score, so let the game begin.
Hello again, everybody. Welcome to another exciting edition of the Chicago Bullseye. And it was the night before the draft, and all through the house, not a creature was stirring, not even a Krause. We're here. I don't believe it. Finally. And we have on the line the two pillars of the Chicago Bullseye, Bulls basketball NBA historian Tim Gallagher, and also from Bull Scripted, Keith Franz. How you guys doing? Living the dream?
I'm doing great, Fred. Checking in from San Diego. I haven't seen Pop and Kawhi in the neighborhood yet, but they're in town, supposedly.
Yeah, stay on that for us, will you? If you hear anything, give me a call. We'll break the story. That's awesome. All right, well, let's get right into it. I mean, a lot of news here, a lot of hypotheticals that the Bulls are moving up potentially. I want to start out with that because I just saw a report that the Bulls are potentially looking to move up from 7 to get to 3. And in doing so, drafting either Doncic or Bamba. And, you know, obviously the latter, I almost had a heart attack. Let's start out with you, Tim. We'll go a little bit. What would you feel if the Bulls did move up? And if they did, who would you prefer that they take?
Well, that's interesting news because I was pretty comfortable with the player that they might get at their slot. But that's interesting. What would they have to give up to move there? Their pick, and is there speculation as to what's included in that package?
You know, have you heard anything on that, Keith? What is the? I imagine they'd have to take on some salary and potentially give up Portis. What's
I'd
the
imagine if it's Atlanta that we're trading up with, we'd probably have to eat Schroeder's contract, and they'd probably be looking for Dunn back.
Oh, I'm not down with that.
I mean, obviously, BP in 22 might get it done, but obviously Portis is coming up for an extension, and that's really the only reason the Bulls would be shopping him anyway. From what the Bulls have indicated, they plan on making two picks, and so I don't know. But I don't know if I'd be too fond of Dunn for Schroeder and extra. I don't know.
Yeah, Tim, what do you say with that knowledge? If it's Atlanta, I thought it was going to be potentially Memphis. From what I've heard, you know, Memphis has the fourth pick and taking on a contract, you know, one of their awful contracts taken on board to free up some space for them. But regardless, let's say it was 3. All right, and who would you feel comfortable for them moving up for? I mean, who would you want if you moved up that far? I don't know where what your stance is on some of these players.
Well, I shared with you just a little bit ago before we came on the air my 10, the players I rank 1 to 10, and that's just my opinion of their skill set and, you know, potential in the league, not necessarily even slotting them with what team might be picking at that spot. But I've got Ayton and Bagley as 1 and 2, and I have Porter at 3, which I know is a bit of a controversial pick, and he's kind of all over the map in terms of, you know, speculation on his injury and so on. If you're asking me between Bamba and Doncic, I would go with Doncic. I'm definitely intrigued by his talent. The guy I've kind of compared him to a little bit is Peja Stojakovic, which I know Doncic has looked at as a little bit more of a playmaker in, you know, kind of making things happen, where Stojakovic was looked at as more of just a shooter. Mm-hmm. But I think in this era today, if Peja Stojakovic was 19 years old and playing in the Euroleagues, he'd probably have much more of a green light to handle the ball and do things as another 6'8 player. So I see that him as a similar skill set. You know, again, maybe a little more creative as a playmaker, but again, I'm thinking Stojakovic wasn't really even given the green light to do those kind of things. So I'm intrigued by Doncic and his age and what he's accomplished in the Euroleague, and all these guys have some flaws that we could pick apart, but if it was 3, I would take Porter Jr. If you're asking me between Bamba and Doncic, I'd take Doncic.
Keith, what about you?
I'd lean Doncic as well. Although we argue about Bamba all the time, I don't think he's somebody I'd trade up for. They're trading up for, I hope they're targeting Doncic or Jaren Jackson Jr. Opposed to Bamba. I like Bamba, but I like Bamba because he's a realistic player that could fall to the Bulls at 7 and not require them trading up. To add to what Tim said, it's kind of hard to take away from Doncic and what he's done at such a young age, and he does exude a very competitive fire that you look for when you're trying to acquire a star.
Yeah, I think it would be a travesty if they moved up for Bamba. We've talked ad nauseum on what I feel about the kid. If he falls to 7, as bad as that would be, I'd be able to live with it. To give up an asset, just the thought of giving him an asset and moving up to 3 or 4 and taking him is absolutely the height of insanity to me. Especially when I think there's a very realistic chance he could fall to 7. And if you're moving up to 3 or 4, I've warmed to Doncic. I think Doncic, he's clearly got an insane amount of offensive skills. My biggest issue with him has always been his three-point shot, and I think that's imperative that he gets that up. I think it's a huge red flag that it dropped so significantly this year. I realize that he had a lot more attention, a lot more pressure on him. But if he doesn't get that three-point shot above 30%, and it was 30% this year in the EuroLeague, all those lanes and all that great court vision is going to be lessened because these guys are better athletes and they're just going to be able to sag off on him, not completely respect that shot enough. If they have to come and guard him out to 30 feet, 35 feet, it makes all the difference in the world. You can go by the guy. He doesn't have elite quickness, but he has enough that he'll punish them for that. So, everything on him I'd be fine with, because I think at his floor he's going to be not an all-star but a good player. You know, I think definitely a rotation player. At his ceiling, he could be an all-star if he develops a three-point shot. Bamba, his floor is like below the basement. Like, I honestly think the guy could be out of the league in 6 years. I really think he's that bad offensively. I just don't believe you should ever draft a guy with as poor of offensive skill set as he has right now in the top 10. Defensively, I understand all the measurables. I know he's good there. But, again, I'll point to the fact I think he's been manhandled in most of the games I've seen. So, just, again, acquiring an asset to move up to him, I would be furious. I'd be disappointed. And I at least, Keith, I think you agree that that would be a mistake.
No, yeah. Given where he's projected to fall, and I've seen some mocks that have him falling out of the top 10 like you feel. I don't agree with that or most of your opinion on Bamba, but I can agree on the fact that trading up to get Bamba doesn't make sense, even with the potential of him being, a one-of-one rim protector with his measurables.
I guess it's possible if Pax is falling and Gar have actually fallen in love with him, that you hear a lot that Dallas is going to take him at 5. So if that's true and you really want them, you're going to move up to do that. And that's what I'm really, fearful of. It's just, oh, my gosh. That would be a worst-case scenario.
If it's only at the cost of the Parsons contract being taken on, I don't have that much problem with it, because 2020 does have a great free agency class when that contract would come off our books. So essentially we'd just be growing organically for the next year and a half, 2 years.
Yeah, but once you lose out on Klay Thompson?
But outside of that.
You lose out on potentially signing Klay Thompson. You'd lose out on having flexibility, potential deals to come down the pipe. I mean, if it's for Doncic, I totally understand it. Like I said, if it's for Bamba, I think we're all in agreement it'd be a major mistake. But let's say, it sounds like now Bagley's going too. Well, why don't we go back to you, Tim? We'll start, get your top 7 list. Give it how you would rank the top 7. Let's start out with your top 3 in order and give a quick comment on each player.
Got it. So number 1, I have DeAndre Ayton out of Arizona. I see him physically kind of being like a David Robinson after a few years in the league when David Robinson really buffed up. I mean, coming out of the Naval Academy, he was still pretty slender, but that kind of a physical presence as a player, I don't know if Ayton is going to be as sharp mentally, and obviously Robinson had a unique background, but I see him as that kind of physical presence on the court and skill set. So I think he's a pretty clear-cut number 1. Number 2, I like Marvin Bagley. think he's very talented. I compare him very favorably to Chris Bosh, and you know, just I've seen him play in person, and you know, is a gazelle out on the floor. And you know, it was in a high school game, so he was pretty dominant even against a very good opponent. But you could just tell that his gazelle-like talent, getting up and down the floor, and his length, and you know, as a decent shot. And I think the one weakness is maybe you know not the shot blocker or defensive presence that people would have liked to have seen, at least in his 1 year at Duke. And then my third is Michael Porter Jr. You know, I've always been high on him. I just think he has that little sparkle. Certainly aware, though, of the concerns with the health, but I've seen enough that I think you know I could see him. I know he's been compared to a player like Durant, which you know, that's a pretty lofty standard. You know, that's almost like comparing Trae Young to Curry, right? It's just there's been very few guys that have ever been in the league at that level, so that's a little bit of a lofty reach. But I could see him having a Jason Tatum-like impact, though, in terms of being a wing player that can do a lot of things.
Keith, your top three.
Ayton, offensive skill set is off the charts. I think he has the measurables and the athleticism to become a good defensive player. Obviously, he's very backwards in that sense. Usually, big men are extremely good on defense and have to polish the offensive end. But I think Ayton is the clear-cut pick here. I go with Doncic, number two, just because I think he has the most skill out of any players in this draft, and he also has the most experience. Despite his lack of athleticism, I think he's a very safe top-tier pick because of his accolades. And then I go with Bagley at number three. I don't think he's a great fit for the Bulls, but he is an athletic freak. He's the one big in the draft outside of maybe Jaren Jackson that doesn't have motor concerns. And offensively, outside of the free throw line, he's pretty darn good.
So I know I'll have a unique top three. My first is actually Jaren Jackson Jr. I can't think of a player more suited to play in today's NBA. I just think the world of this kid. He's excellent. He's young, 18, athletic, versatile defender. I could see him switching easily and sticking on most players where it's a 2 through 5. Shot 40% from three, just under 80% from the free throw line. Shooting metrics, I love. 3 blocks a game, skills galore. I'm all in on this kid. And I think any team, it would, again, to go back to the Bamba, if the Bulls somehow go up to three and he's on the board and they take a Bamba or even a Doncic, I'm going to be upset, especially Bamba. Two, Ayton. I love the kid, freak, tons of talent, you know, 20 points per game. My only negatives on him I saw, you know, he's 34% from three, which is good. You see that improving, but it's not great. You know, definitely not as good as Jaren Jackson as an outside shooter. And he was nowhere near as dominant defensively as he should have been with his talent base. Now, clearly, that could be taught and they'll hopefully get better, but he wasn't as dominant as Jaren Jackson Jr. on the defensive end. He's just that's a fact. So he's got more talent probably than anybody in this draft, but I still am going to put him two just for that reason. I like Jaren Jackson Jr. a tad bit more. And my third is Wendell Carter Jr. I love this kid. I think it's a travesty how he's been talked at as quote-unquote the safe pick. He does nothing poorly. Every time I watch him on tape, I fall in love with him more. I love his rebounding, his passing, his shooting. All that is above average. The only potential negative is lateral quickness, but he's, again, a whole year younger than Bamba. On tape, I don't think he's at all slower laterally than Bamba or any of the other bigs for that matter, with the exception of Jaren Jackson Jr. You know, and I think that also can improve. So he's my third, and I'd be thrilled with him at seven. Let's go four.
I like Carter as well. Fred, who would you compare, I know this is putting you on the spot a little bit, but who would you compare Jaren Jackson Jr. to of a current player in the league? Let's say Jackson matures and turns into the player that you're envisioning. A player I had, just to put a name out there, I see him maybe similar to a LaMarcus Aldridge.
I think he's definitely more athletic than Aldridge. You know who I honestly, I can't believe I'm going to say this. I think he's a better shooting Draymond Green. Not as good of a passer, definitely a better shooter. He's got that ability to shoot the ball better. But I think defensively, he's going to be absolutely fantastic. I love guys like that. You can switch on and you're not even worry about it. And I was watching tape where he was literally sticking twos. You know, it's like he can guard anything from a two to a five. It's just fantastic defensively. So that's an interesting. I don't think he's as skilled as Aldridge either, though, with his back to the basket. I don't think he had, I mean, he's so young still, right? That could come. But Aldridge is, I think, has a top-notch post game, and that's something he doesn't have. But that's an interesting comp. I would say, though, honestly, Draymond.
Well, just his body type. I'm envisioning Jackson being more of a, you know, you mentioned Draymond. I can see Jackson with some maturity, getting a rebound and getting it and leading the break like Draymond does. You know, obviously, LaMarcus Aldridge is not that kind of player, but just kind of his body and skill set. You know, and I'm a fan of LaMarcus Aldridge. I mean, his ability to score the ball and you know, crafty moves and things like that.
Yeah, what do you think of Jaren? Well, why don't we go 4 through 6? Because none of these guys were on there. I'd love to get you rested. I'm sure we'll get on some of these players I mentioned, hopefully, in your 4 through 6. Let's go over to Keith for his 4 through 6.
Ironically, I have Jaren Jackson Jr. at 4. I wouldn't compare him to a current player, but somebody he's been working out with, and there was an interesting video on Facebook with Kevin Garnett. I do think he could have that kind of potential upside with more freedom to shoot from distance. And then 5, I have Michael Porter.
And 6?
There I have Bamba. And then I follow up with Trae Young, even though I think he's a horrible fit for the Chicago Bulls.
So four through 6, you have Jaren Jackson Jr. Who was 5? Who'd you have?
Michael Porter.
Michael Porter. Oh,
Bamba,
gotcha.
6. Trae Young, 7.
Okay, so what about you, Tim? What's your 4, 5, 6?
Yeah, so just to refresh, I've got Ayton, Bagley, and Porter, 1, 2, 3. So 4, I've got Doncic. 5, I've got Jaren Jackson Jr. And 6, I have Wendell Carter.
Great. And any comments on Carter? What do you? Let's see. Is there anybody here we haven't covered yet? Get your take on anybody in there that you want to add anything to?
Well, on Wendell Carter, I had as a play like I see a little bit maybe of Miles Turner from the Pacers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, kind of similar size and skill set, and I think Carter maybe even, you know, I'm more intrigued by Carter's talent than Turner, and Turner's turned into a better NBA player than I was expecting. You know, after 1 year at Texas, which seems to be the trend, I guess, for these Texas players. That was someone that came to mind, I'm a fan of Carter.
My 4, 5, 6. I got Bagley at 4. I love Bagley. I like everything about his offensive game. I was really disappointed on him defensively. My concerns with him. Doesn't have a great outside three-point shot, which is where the game is going for the big men. He's got kind of like an old man's game with the back to the basket, but he does attack the rim very well, and he doesn't shoot free throws well. That's another big red flag for me. Those two things were enough for me to knock him back behind Wendell Carter Jr., who is definitely more of a complete 360 player. Number 5, I got – this is going to probably draw a lot of – laughs, I'm sure, from the listening audience. And I have these next two almost at the same level. Miles Bridges. I have Miles Bridges number 5. I've fallen in love with this kid all over again. As far as I can tell, he's basically being discounted for the sole reason he decided to go back for his sophomore year. He basically played just as good, if not a tad bit better, his sophomore year. He's an athletic freak. He attacks the rim. And or you could just watch, when you watch his game tape, every one of his skills translates to the NBA extremely well. And not only that, I think if he did play at the United Center, you would have almost weekly some play that he makes where the entire crowd is just, you know, going crazy with it. I love Miles Bridges. Doncic, I got 6, and I could make those two interchangeable. I've really warmed up to Doncic. If he didn't shoot, like I said, if he didn't shoot the ball so poorly from 3, I'd have no problem with him drafting him. I think he's going to have major problems on the defensive end. But offensively, he has very few flaws. And then, so Keith, you had 7. You had Trae Young at 7, huh? Where do you have Miles Bridges on your list?
Miles would probably put somewhere around 10.
Okay, and how about, do you have him ahead or behind Mikal Bridges?
I have him ahead of Mikal Bridges.
Tim, you feel the same?
Like you pointed out, a lot of his skills translate. 3-4 versatile players are becoming more important in the league. I see Mikal as more of a 2-3. I don't know if he's going to be able to, you know, contend with the elite threes in the league, where I think Miles has the NBA-ready fullback-style body, and he can move that weight in a lot of effective ways, and he could probably guard 2 through 5 even.
Yeah. Tim, who's your number 7?
Number 7, I've got Mikal Bridges. And I'll just go ahead and maybe run out the rest of them. So 8, I've got Bamba. 9, I have Trae Young. And then 10, I have Miles Bridges. And Fred, I agree with a lot of your points on Miles Bridges, and I'm a fan of him as well. I actually saw him play in high school and saw him do some freaky athletic things and was very surprised on how nice his jump shot was. Usually guys that tend to be that strong and have that kind of leaping ability don't have to really shoot the ball to score and be effective in high school. And he stepped out and hit some threes. And, I thought he had a little bit of an underwhelming year at Michigan State. But I think in that Izzo system, just like we talked about with Jaren Jackson, it's really hard to gauge, because I wouldn't say that the Michigan State guys play free and easy and have the green light, even like a Villanova does. So it's a little bit hard to see with them in such a structured system. But I like Miles Bridges. One of the comparisons I had to him was a Harrison Barnes type player, or maybe a Kyle Kuzma. I could see him in those, comparisons.
Yeah, his strength is so underrated. He's just so stinking strong that I could see him guarding 4s and 5s at times. He's that strong and has that strong of a base. He's built like a linebacker. But I think he's quick enough to guard most threes. And, I've fallen in love with that kid. I do want to get your take on Mo Bamba. We haven't heard yours, Tim, on Mo. And you have him at 8, which is high, definitely higher than where I have Matt, which is, he's fallen pretty quickly. I'm kidding. I would probably take him somewhere around 14 or 15. But what's your take on Mo Bamba?
Right. Well, I have him at 8 just because he is an intriguing, physical specimen. But as I see, I always try to project who plays like that in the league today, and how effective are the teams where those guys are playing. And, a couple of names I jotted down is just seeing how the style that he plays is Gobert with Utah, which is a pretty high-level player. But I also looked at Clint Capella. I also see a Nerlens Noel type of a player, which really, he's really not done much in the league, but a similar kind of a body type and skill set at this point.
Yeah.
I know those guys have taken, a little more roundabout way to the league. And, a couple, obviously Capella and Gobert were non-U.S. college players. But, I just think of, talked about quite a bit, and you hear just the way the league is trending, and is he going to be able to get on the floor and impact the game anytime soon? And I think enough of him that he's a top 10 pick to someone to develop and try to utilize in a certain team system, but not with one of the higher picks in this draft.
I guess, Keith, do you want to give one final homily on Mo Bamba to hopefully try to convince us all that he's not a complete disaster?
I would say character and intelligence goes a long way. And if you have a Nerlens Noel physical freak with that kind of work ethic and character, who knows where Nerlens Noel would be at this point of his career if he had that kind of character and work ethic. So I think Bamba has 101 freak potential. I don't think you trade up for that, but I do think if that falls in your lap, that's something that you have to seriously consider.
A couple other names we had that aren't in our top 7 that we got to discuss. Trae Young. Tim, why don't we go to you on this one, and I'll get yours, Keith, shortly thereafter. Trae Young, if the Bulls drafted Trae Young, will you be disappointed? Will you be happy? Will you be just, where would you fall on that spectrum?
Well, I would say I kind of have mixed thoughts there. I would say I'd be disappointed because I think the Bulls have, you know, lead guards that, you know, that I'm okay with for the short term, at least. I mean, I think Dunn showed enough to me that, you know, I think you, you ride with him at least another year or two, and I think you can get a very serviceable backup point guard either late, you know, with the 22nd pick or maybe even in the second round or through free agency. So I'm looking at other positions for the Bulls. That said, his talent intrigued me. When I, you know, when I watched Trae Young play, you know, seeing a guy that can come down and shoot the ball from 30 feet, and, you know, there's not many guys that can successfully do that, and how that opens up the floor, and, you know, the fact that he led the nation in scoring and assists. You know, I think the fact that their team kind of faded, you know, Oklahoma kind of peaked early, and, you know, they were really lucky to even get picked to be in the NCAA tournament. So some of the shine came off of him, and I think it's kind of a combination of just the wear and tear of the season and teams figuring out how to slow him down. But as a fan, he's a player I really enjoy watching. You know, just his creativity and ability to shoot the ball from distance is a lot of fun to watch. So that's why I have him in the top 10. I got him at 9. You know, I see him, you know, the players that come to mind, not necessarily the same skill set, but, you know, maybe having like a Kemba Walker-type impact, right? So, you know, a very good player, exciting to watch. Is he going to lead a team to a championship as their point guard? No, probably not. But, you know, he's crept onto some all-star teams and, you know, is a skilled and talented player. But that's why I have him slipping to 9. I know he's been projected higher a couple other places.
What say you, Keith? What Trae Young, I don't think we've really kind of elaborated how you would feel if that was the Bulls pick.
I'd be very disappointed. I think it ultimately is a wasted pick in the long run. As Tim pointed out, we have at least 2 capable guards currently. I don't know that Trae Young ever eclipses LaVine as the offensive player, and I don't know that would even justify cutting Dunn in half. A lot of Dunn's upside is with him on the ball, despite his turnover concerns, but Trae Young led college in turnovers, so that's not like something that would be going away if you swap Trae Young for Chris Dunn, and obviously the defensive pairing with Dunn makes sense, but when you turn Dunn into Marcus Smart, I just don't see the point in that. So I don't see where Trae fits with our team. His offensive skills are undeniable. He's must-watch TV. I'll give him that. I just really don't like his fit with the Bulls. If they took him, I would have to, you know, swallow that and move on. I do think he fits Fred's system. So in that kind of logic, I could understand it.
Chandler Hutchinson at 22, it seems like it's a foregone conclusion. That's going to be the pick if he's available. Let's start out with you, Keith, and we'll go over to Tim. Let's get a little 411 on this kid. We haven't talked about him much on the show. Do you like him, number one? And number two, give us a little 411 on him as a player.
I do like him. He has the size that you want on the wing, from the height to the wingspan. Picture that they posted earlier with Michael Porter, who's supposedly 6'11 in shoes. He didn't look all that much shorter than him. He's a very good player. He's good at attacking the basket. He's shifty. He's good at finishing at the rim. He improved his shooting. He had a 45-point game or something like that throughout the season. And he tries on defense. He's a worker on that end as well. So you're getting a two-way player who can score. And I think at 22nd, it could potentially be a Kyle Kuzma-like steal.
Tim.
Big fan of Chandler Hutchinson. I like that he was a little bit of a late bloomer. He's from Orange County, Southern California, and you know, a four-year player at Boise State. The game that Keith is referring to was a game at Boise against San Diego State. So I watched it on television, being here in San Diego. Obviously, I follow San Diego State basketball pretty closely, and he was unbelievable in that game. And San Diego State was an NCAA tournament team with some pretty good defensive talent, and he was doing it all. I I like the Kuzma comparison. Another name I compared him to was a Nicholas Batum type player. I think he shoots the ball even a little better than Batum. So I'm a fan of him. I think he's a perfect fit for today's game, where he's a multi-position player. And I think he's a little hungry in terms of coming from a smaller school. One of my NBA sources compared him favorably to Paul George at a similar stage, where Paul George was from Fresno State and maybe a little bit under the radar. I don't think Hutchinson's going to go as high in the draft as George. George went, 10th, I think. So I don't think he'll go that high, but that's how he's viewed by some NBA people. I'm somewhat surprised that he's still there at 22. I hope he is for the Bulls' sake, but I don't know that he'll be there.
Keith, what did you say? I'm sorry, Keith.
No, he's going to be in the green room, so I know that much. They're expecting him to go in the first 20, 22-ish.
Awesome.
He didn't even come to the combine, so he shut it down early. So somebody must have known something he had a promise or there was a lock, because I think he's been off the grid basically since just before the combine.
He's been hanging out in Chicago with Michael Porter Jr. on the beach.
Yeah. Final question, and I'm going to throw it to both of you. We'll start out with you, Keith, for this one. If the Clippers come and offer both their picks to move up to 7, do you make that trade?
Nothing extra, just 12 and 13
hold on really quick. So I know that a lot of people have emailed me 7 and 22 for 12 and 13. I don't do that in a million years. I think that's far too much to move back 5 spaces in a draft where, you know, there's clear talent in the top 8. So, you know, but if it was just that, those 2 picks to move up to 7, would you do it?
I think the Bulls would have to heavily consider that with players like Robert Williams, Lonnie Walker, Kevin Knox,